The scripture is from the second chapter of Luke, beginning with the 8th verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Children coming together to hear the word. Aren't we not all children coming forward at Christ's feet to hear the word? And as we turn to the gospel and hear the word, we honor that by standing in our congregation. If you are comfortable and able to do so, I ask you to stand. Jesus talks about shepherd. This is John 10, beginning with verse 7. So again, Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find a pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. If I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. For there will be one flock, one shepherd. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, we haven't really mentioned. We mentioned the passing of President George H.W. Bush and celebrated a man of integrity and honesty of his time. And it was an amazing event. I don't know if you saw any of it, if you watched it, or I think it was live on television. I didn't get to pursue that. But I saw lots of video clips. It was recorded for posterity. What an amazing gathering. Wasn't that something? Presidents and past presidents and their families all there, and the who's who of the Senate, of politics, of Washington, lots of important people gathered there, and it was kind of an amazing gathering if you think about it. And a part of me said Secret Service must have had their hands full trying to keep track of and keep everyone in order. Can you imagine the person that had to organize the invitation list for that gathering? All the preparation. Now, you need to know something. People that are relatively famous, they write their obituaries and plan tributes to them well ahead of time. There's entire groups of staffs on major news companies that have obituaries all ready to go. So I'm sure that as President Bush aged, they also were preparing, aware that our time here is finite. And so they were preparing for that. And so that culmination seems to have gone fairly well. Well, I'm not aware of any overt faux pas that might have occurred. But if you will think about it, that was the hottest ticket in town and has been for, and will be for, remembered as such for quite some time. Now, why in the world would I be thinking about that event? We're in the midst of a cosmic great event. We're coming up on an event that was the birth of the Christ in the midst of the people. This is a change for humans. It's changed human life. It's changed human history. The birth of the baby, the Messiah, the Christ in the midst of humanity. That's an event magnitudes of order more important than anyone alive on this planet today. Think about all of that. Think about the planning that had to go into that. Getting ready for that event. Here are prophets that spoke about this event coming millennia before Jesus was born. So the planning had to begin so many years early so those prophets would be aware and could foretell that coming. And the planning that had to go into knowing all of these things ahead of time. Now, we know God is omniscient, all-powerful, and God can do anything. And God is also the God of time. Think about that a moment. We sometimes think about material things, and time is simply a measuring tool. But Einstein said it isn't. And if that is the case, and we believe it is, then God is also the master of time. And so God, in charge of all of that, putting all that together, coordinating with the angel Gabriel so that he could meet with Mary and say, Mary, you're going to be pregnant. And she about fainted. How can that be? I have never been with a man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will bear a child. And you will call his name Jesus. And her magnificent in response. It's a lot of scheduling, a lot of things to plan, a lot of things to put together on that cosmic calendar of planning of events on this important holy event. There was an invitation in the stars. It's intriguing to me, and it might be a sermon and a series of sermons, in fact, about these men from the east. They're called magi, they're called kings, they're called a lot of different things, but they weren't Jewish. They were not of the faith. They're from the Far East. They're traveling there, and they are the intelligentsia, the scientists, the mathematicians of their age. They're the wise ones. They're wealthy enough to be able to study and to learn and to focus their attention on observing things around them and observing the heavens. And they detect these signs in the heavens. And they follow the star and they arrive. From Persia now, we're estimating that where they were from. So they would have been of the faith of the Zoroastrianism. Say that time three times quickly. Obviously, I cannot. But here are these magi. They have seen an invitation. They've responded to it. And they're not Jewish, but they come. And they're not there at the birth. Don't telescope time too badly. They come some point after that. And they come and they celebrate him with gold and frankincense and myrrh. All of the things that had to come together, all of the planning that had to exist together, all of it. Did somebody forget to book a room? What the heck was with that? Do you have any room at the inn? No, no posada, no shelter. And they end up in a stable. In a manger. Was that a slip? Did somebody just forget to book the venue? I don't think so. I don't think God makes that kind of mistake. I don't think that's how it would have worked out. But think about it. Think that through. Here's a barn with the feed trough for the animals, and this is the crib for the one to come. And the invitation that went out, I'm sure that all the kings were invited and the mayor of Bethlehem and the chief priests and the head of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I'm sure they all were invited and welcomed. And what? You're shaking your heads? No? How could that be the case? This is the most amazing event in human history. And how could it be that that invitation list didn't include all of them? Yeah, I know you're all way ahead of me on this. But think about the magnitude of the reality that the only invitation went out by angel mail. Angel of the Lord appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and the shepherds were sore afraid. Richard, thank you for reading that in the King James Version. That's the one we're familiar with, isn't it? That's the one that has some width to it, if you will. What a beautiful moment. And what would that be? An angel appears before you in the glory of the Lord? I don't know what that even means. Hollywood cannot even begin to estimate what that would look like or feel like or seem to be. But that's astonishing. If I were a shepherd, I'd be groveling in the dirt too. I'd be terrified. Be not afraid, the angel says, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. So the only invite to the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem goes out to shepherds. Now, I'm sure it was the head of the shepherds. I'm sure it was important shepherds. I'm sure it was wealthy and well-known and well-read and written people that wrote books, shepherds that were... No, it wasn't anybody. It was nobody. Shepherds, poor, lowly, itinerant. How could that be the case? Do you know about shepherds? Shepherding was kind of a no-skill job, kind of a menial task, and they often gave it to kids because kids couldn't do any of the other work that needed to be done, and the kids would be out in the fields with the sheep and trying to keep them in order and trying to keep themselves from going crazy, keeping the sheep from scattering. And Jesus talked about them. They might hire shepherds, and if it's a hired shepherd and the threat comes and the shepherd feels like they're in danger, they leave the sheep behind and the sheep are scattered and attacked. There's a lot in that passage. Jesus isn't just talking about shepherds and shepherding. He's talking about people leading people astray religiously in his time. So as in most Bible passages, there are multiple levels of truth in what's being said there. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Prophetic, realistic, historical. And these shepherds, they were so poor oftentimes. If they were grown, they didn't have anything. They weren't paid enough to survive. And sometimes they had to steal what they needed to survive. So they were kind of mistrusted. We think about that sometimes and we get angry when we hear about people stealing things, but how many of you ever saw The Hunger Games? An amazing story, The Hunger Games and Katniss Everdeen. Remember that she was poor. Her father had died and she and her family were poor and she was hunting for bread and finds it in the street. A loaf of bread that was overcooked to be thrown out to the animals and given to her as a gift. She would do anything to feed her family. Wouldn't all of us? So shepherds starving, shepherds hungry, shepherds in need, taking sometimes when they couldn't get it any other way, and maligned for that. So we need to rethink some about all of the rights and wrongs of life, don't we? Jesus is re-imaging society. Shepherds were not respectable. Shepherds were not high society. Shepherds had no power or authority. In that society, you had money or prestige or power, and you had a seat in the city gates because you were somebody with something and some power and some ability to influence the world around you and call others to account. Well, shepherds had none of that. And these are the ones that get the invitation. These are the ones that get the hottest ticket in town to the most important cosmic event in the history of humanity. Jesus is re-imaging society. Think about that. And it happens all through his ministry. Think about other parables. The Good Samaritan is the penultimate story. Here's a Samaritan who, Samaritans were reviled, mistrusted, hated, despised. Nothing about a Samaritan was good. They were just the antithesis of anything positive in the society around them. And you were not supposed to be around them for any reason. And here's a Samaritan that does the will of God in caring for a man who's been beaten and left naked in a ditch along the highway. And the parable becomes known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that phrase is now a benchmark of goodness in our society. In that time in Asia, it would have been incredible to put the words good and Samaritan together. And here now, we define Samaritans without even the word good as those positive ones that care for each other. God re-imaged society. God changed how we viewed things. God changed how we viewed Samaritans. The woman at the well. She'd been married 4 or 5 times. What did the scripture say? Do you remember? And she's living with somebody she's not married to. We still haven't quite let go of that judgmental piece, have we? We still haven't grown past judging. And because Jesus engages her, talks to her, explains that she is the one he has come for. And they stay, he and his disciples stay with her and their people for several days. Jesus was helping reimage that, and it's a work in progress for us today, is it not? So when we see that the only ones who received an invitation to Jesus' birth, in personal invitation from an angel, Gabriel. Was it Gabriel? Maybe not in this case. Gabriel went to Mary, but we don't know if it was Gabriel. Anyway. But that invitation to shepherds is consistent with Jesus. And it's consistent with what he's trying to teach and to tell us. The least must be first. And the first must humble themselves to others. Washing the feet of each other. He begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And Simon Peter says, "No, Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And did you hear what Jesus says to him? "Then you shall never have any part of me." We are all called to be the servants. Kind of goes against our grain a little bit. But it's what we're called to be about. It's a call to us to obedience, to humility. Christ is re-imaging society. Was all those millennia ago with the birth of Christ, with the invitation of the shepherds, and Christ is re-imaging us today. Think about where and how and in what ways. And may the miracle of Christmas come upon us here and now, in this place, in his holy name. May he remake us. Amen.